Oh, beautiful afternoon across the Rockies. 505, Dan and Craig, 630 KHW. Let's take a quick trip to the VIP line. Excuse me, really privileged to have Congressman Mike Kaufman with us, and we'll get back to the other issues of the day. But appreciate the chance to talk to you, Congressman, about the latest version of Obamacare, at least what we know of it so far. The leading edge, the headline story popping up first out of it is that the federal government proposing the president's proposing that the federal government now be able to regulate insurance industry rates. Wanted to get your take on that to start. Welcome back to 630 KHW.
Hey, great to be with you.
Thank you. So what do you think about that? What do you think about this whole idea of the federal government being able to step in and say no to a particular rate that a private insurance company wants to apply?
You know what, the sad thing is we're not fixing the current system. And that, you know, and a lot of it's regulated by states, but we put so many mandates on these policies about coverage where we've taken the individual out of the equation, the consumer out of the equation, right, in terms of having skin in the game, that you know, the rates have just gone through the roof. And I got to tell you, I think if what we need is price competition between insurance companies, and this really doesn't do it. If you say to a private carrier, and I think they want to end the private system, if you say to a private carrier, you know, okay, this is where you can charge, and we want you to do all these things, and if they can't do it, then they're just going to go out of business. That's not creating, I think, a free market environment. But, you know, we need to strip some of these mandates out of the bills. I think we can do high-risk insurance pools, but, you know, nowhere in this legislation is there price competition.
Hey, Congressman, good to talk to you again. How's the ankle?
Hey, it's a lot better. I am walking without crutches now.
Do you still have a walking cast on?
I still have a walking cast. Another few more weeks.
Jeez, I used to work at Meadow Hills where you broke your ankle. That was a real shame. You talked about the rate increases on health insurance, something a lot of us are very familiar with. But what about the profits on the part of this, the insurance industry? In California, WellPoint, record profits, but they're raising up the rates. How do you explain that?
You know what? What we need is market competition. I think the president is right when he says there's not adequate competition among private insurance companies. But we do that through government regulations where we say that you cannot purchase health insurance across state lines. It has to be somebody that's licensed in your state. I think if we could open up the market, if we could deregulate it some, and I think that the role of the insurance commissioner is to make sure that these policies are transparent. And that they cover what they say they're going to cover, but if we could open up a market competition, when I was state treasurer, I looked and I wondered why all the publicly traded corporations were moving out of Colorado, at least in incorporating in the state of Delaware. And it turns out that Delaware had a court system that specialized in hearing business cases, and I think that they provided a better environment, and even though they charged a lot more for their incorporation. I think if Colorado could come up with a great health insurance plan that would focus on catastrophic care, and then open it up to the rest of the country, if in fact we opened up the market. And we charge a premium tax here. Part of that goes to the general fund, but part of it goes to cover a high-risk insurance pool with people that have chronic health care needs that are just priced out of the market. And we subsidize that here in Colorado. We could you know, bring down the cost further if we could sell a policy that would appeal to the country to be more cost competitive. And other states could do the same. Let's open it up to competition.
Well, isn't that part of the idea behind a public option? Make the insurance companies compete with government?
But what the public option says is we're not going to do the deregulatory parts that I mentioned that allows competition across state lines. So we're going to just leave it in place. And now we'll say, but the only one that could provide competition is the government? No, I mean, we need to open up competition to the private sector to bring down prices.
Congressman Mike Kaufman, our guest. And doesn't this go back to the lead question I had for you, which is the idea of the federal government now being able to dictate rates for a private insurance company? Because behind this, can't the intellectually honest agree that the left for a long, long time, and now they're in control of the Democratic Party, has been out to kill private insurance companies, health insurance companies, and replace them with a single payer government provided health insurance plan? I mean, isn't that their holy grail? And wouldn't this be a big step toward that?
Yeah, you know, really would. And let me tell you one other thing. I think that there are some real constitutional questions here. The notion that the federal government can impose an individual mandate.
Right.
Certainly, I think states can do it constitutionally. I don't see where in the U.S. Constitution it gives the power to the federal government to do that. And I think there are other constitutional questions about the power of the federal government to do the things that we're talking about doing. And clearly, we understand the Commerce Clause and what is involved in that. But I think there are aspects in this legislation it clearly goes beyond that.
And can we look ahead to what, at least for now, is scheduled Thursday as this so-called, you know, bipartisan summit? It looks to me like a setup the White House is engineering. But tell us, is the GOP going to participate, and what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think I probably will. We're going to talk to we're going to have a discussion about it tomorrow morning. But here's the thing. It's so disingenuous that, first of all, the president bills it as we're going to have this open process, you know, with cameras running, where we're going to have this discussion and listen to all sides on health insurance. He's already written his proposal that he's going to present
right
at this so-called summit on health care. And the negotiations for it have already occurred behind closed doors between, you know, the White House, Democrats in the House, and Democrats in the Senate. So this is not an open process. This is clearly for show, and I think that's tragic. I think he's missing an important opportunity.
Hey, Congressman, what is the argument offered for not allowing competition state to state?
Well, I think that I suspect that the argument would be this, that in 1946, the Congress of the United States pretty much gave, if you're not a multi-state employer that falls under the ERISA exemption, then you're subject to state and state regulation, particularly the small group market and the individual market. And so I think that each state has different criteria. And so I think that they're saying, would there be a race to the bottom, say, if you opened up the market and in a given state had, say, a catastrophic policy without all the bells and whistles? Yeah, I don't think you would do. First of all, I do think that we insure for much too much. I mean, insurance is about the providing
catastrophic type coverage.
Yeah, really for catastrophic. And so the fact that we've gone beyond that, where people don't have skin in the game.
But let's talk about your ankle. Sounds like it was a bad break. Did you have to have surgery?
Thank God I didn't have to have. I'm very lucky I didn't have to have surgery. Interesting.
But say you would have, that could run you $15,000, $20,000, $25,000.
Well, then that's where you need, you know, that where is that appropriate deductible?
Right.
That
right.
Individuals make the decision.
Right.
When I got out of the Marine Corps the first time and started a business, I had a catastrophic policy through American Family, and I think that I can't remember how many. You know, I think it was, you know, $10,000 or something like that, and then after that, then they picked up the difference.
Right.
But I think that, you know, we ought to have the freedom to make those choices. And again, if you look at the system that's being advocated today, would, number one, people would not be allowed to have a catastrophic policy. They would be mandated with penalty if they didn't to have an individual policy that had all the bells and whistles on it. And so I just don't see where this is going to save us money at the end.
Right. Well, great point, Congressman. Sure appreciate your time today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And if it works out for your schedule, let's touch base after this so-called summit on Thursday.
Love to do it.
Hey, look forward to it.
Thank you.
Man. Appreciate that. Congressman Mike Kaufman, kind enough to join us. I mean, that's what I do in my law firm. I own a small business. And what I do is we provide the health savings account option where, okay, you have coverage, but the coverage is not quite catastrophic as defined by the congressman. And I understand the wisdom in what he's suggesting, but the coverage is more limited. And then, you know, you get a certain amount of money from the firm that you get deposited in your health savings account. And then, you know, you can choose how to use it for those more everyday expenses. And if you don't use it, here's the key. And this is the key long term to making anything work right in American healthcare system, because you got to start. You have two crises now. You have the cost crisis. You cannot, and then the coverage crisis. You cannot solve the coverage crisis until you solve the cost crisis. And you cannot solve the cost crisis until you give each of us, Congressman Kaufman referred to skin in the game, until you give each of us as consumers that same motivation to save and conserve that we have in every other aspect of our buying life. So when you build that now into healthcare, and a health savings account is one way to do that, well, then you've got that incentive. So, no, okay, I really don't need that. So we don't have to have that ER visit or that appointment because I'm no longer just handing them my card with no real big downside for me. You have that motivation to save because in a health savings account, those savings roll over from year to year and you build that account up. So for the same dollars I used to be spending, you know, just to provide, hey, this particular full coverage for this particular colleague in the firm, now they have that option of going health savings account and then the coverage that's more limited to the bigger problems.
She said, my law firm, our policy is don't get sick.
Good one. Let's do this, my brother, and we'll take some calls on this as well, and our lines have been exploding on it. We will get back before the end of the show to the American Academy of Pediatrics proposing redesigning the hot dog. That coming up about 5:30. 303-713-8255. Should the federal government now get to set rates for health insurance companies as the president's proposing? You're with Ann and Craig, 6:30, KHW. Five 21, Dan and Craig, 6:30 KHW. Thanks to Congressman Mike Kaufman, joined us a couple of minutes ago, talking about Obamacare 2.0, which appears to be Obamacare 1.0 on roids. But we'll get into more details as we get closer to this. Should be kind of a remarkable, in quotes, dog and pony show on Thursday, as support for this government plan continues to fall. My brother, a call or two on this, and then we'll get back to this red-hot topic of the day. My goodness, lines on fire over at Instant Message, Kaplis and Silman, page KO.com, on the issue of American Academy of Pediatrics wants the hot dog redesigned because of a lot of kids choking, dying, brain damage, etc. Get your take on that.
I don't think this new health plan is Obamacare on roids. I think they've dialed back. I think they're incorporating some Republican ideas. So I see somewhat of a spirit of compromise. Now, they're sending contradictory messages with this reconciliation talk. But I think that the president is at least a little contrite. Now, the Republicans probably won't go to meet him with the extended hand because it's bad politics. It's better to just say it's Obamacare on steroids. I think we're at an impasse. I don't see any good solution.
Well, I think your analysis is flawed in a couple of important ways. One, the price has gone up. And to me, $1 billion is still a lot of money. So when the price goes up 50 or 75 billion, I mean, what is it? And I may get this wrong, but I think it was a billion minutes ago Christ walked the earth. I mean, you know, that's how much a billion is. So the fact that it's gone up 50 or 75 billion in cost to me is roids.
You're right.
To me, that's a lot bigger. Now, the reason, I mean, you want to lay it on politics and you want to say, oh, the GOP just wants to say no because that's good politics. Well, the only reason that it's good politics is because the American people don't want this. The American people have spoken on it. It's not a failure to communicate. It's a very bad idea the American people have rejected. So you seem to be suggesting that the GOP would be doing the right thing at this point by saying yes to Obama. That doesn't make any logical sense. It's the American people are not dumb. They're not sheep. I understand the elitist in the administration view them that way, but that's one reason they're in such serious trouble right now. The American people get it. They know what this is about. They don't want it. So the GOP is doing the responsible thing when it says no. Now, does the responsible thing also mean coming up with some solution consistent with the proper role of government, legal, constitutional parameters, et cetera? Yes, it does. Absolutely. But you cannot do that within the framework of Obamacare, because rather than do what the GOP asked, more importantly, the American people asked, and start from scratch. Okay, you know, you start off, this is wrong, bad idea, et cetera. It's just polluted at this point beyond recovery. Throw the dirty water out of the tank, fill it up with clean water. Let's start from scratch. The president refuses to do that. Why? Because the president is on a mission. He's on a mission to impose this left-wing view of healthcare on an American public that doesn't want it. So those who suggested, somehow it's a Republican's fault, they're just playing politics, must be those who want this left-wing version of healthcare that Americans have rejected.
Wow. Obama's on a mission. Like Republicans aren't. And the mission is to take over the Senate and take over the House. So I think the strategy now is to say no to anything Barack Obama proposes. Who's at fault for that? I think a big part of the blame goes to Barack Obama and the Democrats, Pelosi and Reid, who overreached in the first place, thought they didn't need any Republicans. And when there were Republicans, perhaps for the taking, they decided to go too far left. So they made their bet. They're having to sleep in it. Interesting development broadcast during the top of the news, network news. Scott Brown and some other New England Republicans have decided to say yes to Obama's jobs bill. Interesting. The Denver Post editorialized against it. And I'll say this about the American people, because I think it's hard for the American people to understand a lot of it. But you did hit on the one thing we do understand, which is quit spending our money. And on this healthcare thing, we want lower cost. We don't want to be spending more money. So the money issue is the big thing. I think that motivates a lot of the Tea Party situation and a lot of the anger in the country. We just have the perception that we got married to a guy who's a big spender, and we don't have that kind of money here.
Well, certainly you're right. And it's one of the lies that underlies Obamacare right now, that the American people have sniffed out and have thoroughly rejected, and along with that are rejecting him. That's why he's not trusted now. And the lie, which it's remarkable they tried to tell it to begin with, it just shows their disdain for the intelligence of the American people. You know, the lie is that we can cover 30 million people more and it's going to cost less. People are not fools, and people resent it when they're lied to like that. And then beyond that, people care deeply about the quality of their health care, because people care deeply about their children. They care deeply about their family, and they know what happens when government takes it over. Quality goes down. That's why the American people have rejected it. You cannot blame it on the GOP. It was Obama and Mark Udall and Michael Bennett who proposed this mess, and who now are determined to shove it down the throats of the American people, even though the people have said they don't want it. I mean, I think Charlie Cook called this, you know, Obama's a rock. I mean, Obama and the Democrats are just blindly determined to finish this bill now. And part of that is the left. Part of it is Barack Obama's just a leftist, and he cares far more long-term about his lifetime legacy with the left and the left around the world than he does the view of the American people of Barack Obama. But the other part of it is the Democratic Party, those who do care more about reelection, it's controlled by the left now. Netroots, Daily Kos, et cetera, the big money, the big organization, the Democratic Party is in the clutches of the left. And it's now far left in terms of its ideology and policy than even most Democrats are. That's why you have this tsunami right now, this collapse, really, in the polls for the Democrats. Democrats everywhere, whether it's New Jersey, Virginia, Massachusetts, Barack Obama, it's collapsing because their ideas are so bad, so unworkable, so wrong, and so far left to the American people.
They have a problem. They have lost the people in the middle like me, independents. The question is, where are we going to go? That's what the 2010 election will be all about. That's going to be a tough one for me. Of course, we have to see who the candidate is, but I expect that a lot of people's vote is up for grabs this time around. A lot of people who voted for Barack Obama 2 years ago.
Well, they've got a problem because they've lost the independents, but they've also lost people like you who voted for Obama, registered
right.
Democrats who voted for Obama, who voted for Mark Udall. I mean, they're losing people like you as well, and that's serious stuff. Let's go back to the lines.
Really serious.
And they're also animating a lot of people who haven't been involved in all of this before and have said, pox on all their houses. I'm going to sit this whole thing out. They've animated those people to get into the arena because at a certain point, you have to rise up and stop very bad things. Jimmy, we'll take one more call on this and then go back to the subject that's already rejamming the lines, which is the Academy American Academy of Pediatrics proposing a redesign of the hot dog. That coming up at 5:30. Jim, you're with Dan and Craig. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Dan and Craig.
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to give you a good example of why this health care reform is not going to save us any money. It's actually going to cost us some money. Anything the government does in health care doesn't lower costs, it raises costs, and that's across the board, whether you're dealing with Medicare or Medicaid. I got a great example to share with you. I brought my, my wife brought my son into the hospital. His sister had stuck a pee in his ear. And
a pee?
Yes, a pee. and she couldn't get it out.
So anyway, it wasn't a hot dog.
Well, we could bring that up to that next conversation as well, I guess. But the point is they were able to wash it out. When we received the bill for going to the emergency room, you would not believe the cost of this. It was $1,500.
Yeah.
Okay? What did the insurance pay out of that? Paid $500, and we had the copay. Who was that $1,500 designed for? I mean, you don't throw a number out there unless someone's going to pay for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Well, pure and simple, Medicaid will pay that in certain in that situation if they don't have a contract in place with the hospital. So that's the state of Colorado. Taxpayers are poning up for the people that have Medicaid. So, you know, these are great examples. You know, the private insurance has lowered the cost. They are great negotiators on this. The fact of the matter is, it's whenever government's involved, the prices go up.
No, wait a second. Medicare pays 30 cents on the dollar.
Wait. I said Medicaid.
All right, but the government is Medicare, and they're paying doctors so little on the dollar that a lot of doctors won't take it. So,
but you're talking two different areas, hospital versus...
Well, you said the government... the government pays full freight. No, they don't.
Well, the Medicaid is full freight. Yeah. Okay?
Medicaid, you're saying, is 100 cents on the dollar?
Medicaid actually will pay exactly. They have a chart out, and it's always higher than Medicare. Okay. Always higher than Medicare.
Hey, Jim, we're united on one thing. Okay, government almost always is not as efficient, almost always not nearly as efficient as private industry, as the market in anything. And appreciate the call. Now, obviously, there are some things only government can do, such as national defense, you know, law enforcement, firefighting, et cetera. But I think most folks driving home right now agree wholeheartedly when it comes to the healthcare system. No, none of us who value the quality of care, none of us who want to keep the price from exploding even further want government running healthcare. And he who pays runs. I mean, that's the way it works. He who pays the bills at the end of the day, and it may go through all these different funnels, but gets to call the shots. When we come back, we're going to shift gears and talk about an issue out today, I guess roughly related, and that is American Academy of Pediatrics asking that the hot dog be redesigned because of all the kids who are choking, brain damage, deaths, etc. What do you think about that? Will you bite on it? 303-713-8255. Dan and Craig, 630. Catch it up. Five 37, Dan and Craig, 630 KHW. Love to hear from you. This 303-713-8255. American Academy of Pediatrics now suggesting a redesign of the hot dog. Well, first of all, is it still a hot dog if it's not shaped like a hot dog? But that cylinder shape has choked a lot of kids, and it's caused brain damage and it's caused death. And so listen to this quote now from one of the docs in charge of the American Academy of Pediatrics. He says, quote, if you were to find the best engineers in the world and ask them to design the perfect plug for a child's airway, you couldn't do much better than the hot dog. According to Dr. Gary Smith, quote, it's the right shape and right size to wedge itself in and completely block a child's airway. It's only a matter of minutes before permanent brain damage and death occurs. So what do you think? Should they redesign the dog? And if so, how do you do that?
That is interesting. I'm not sure I'm the most qualified talk show host to talk about this. I eat an occasional hot dog. What talk show host do you think would be the most qualified?
On dogs? I had one this weekend.
I'd say Michael Savage. You know why? You know what his real name is?
What's that?
Michael Wiener.
Wow. This instant message says, I wonder if childhood food chokings have gone up with the introduction of the Wii machine. Interesting. You know, eating while you play Wii, which really can be pretty darn physical. So, yeah.
Hmm. The eating or the Wii?
This one says, well, both. Did you guys realize that if Karen Carpenter ate the sandwich Mama Cass choked on, they would both be alive today?
And could do a hell of a duet. They're both great singers.
Yeah, yeah. This one says, obviously, a redesign of the hot dog will only do so much when you consider even Jell-O can be choked on. I propose companies simply start perforating the hot dogs lengthwise so that when they're cooked, they come apart to some degree, thus losing their dangerous cork-like shape. That would be better than nuggetizing. That's a bad image. Nuggetizing, because you could still keep it intact in the bun format. Hmm.
Yeah, I looked up Steve's Snappin' Dogs, a hot dog place here. They have low-carb dogs. Hmm. You can eat it with a tortilla around it, or even they have lettuce-wrap hot dogs. Wow. You ever had one of those?
No. Justin, you're with Dan and Craig, 630 KHW. Welcome.
Hey, Justin.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Good, I just want to say, hasn't anybody seen The Field of Dreams?
I've seen it.
Yeah,
I remember the corn in that movie, but I don't remember the hot dogs.
No, the kid almost dies in a hot dog. That's like the end of the
really?
Story.
In Field of Dreams?
You don't remember that?
That's you know, like it's been a while since I've seen, but
Well, the obvious point is that everybody knew this was a hazard. I can't believe a private company hasn't already redesigned it and marketed it as a child-friendly food.
Great point. And that's what I was telling callers earlier. I'm not suggesting we pass any law or require this or require that. But you know, you have to believe these companies have looked at it and decided that the market's not there for it. But I think they may be wrong because, man, so many parents as it is cut up the dog. Now, it doesn't help to cut it up into just smaller cylinders because that can still block the airway. You got to cut it the long way, right?
Hey, Justin, what about it? We could start a business, build a better hot dog, and you know what the slogan could be?
What would that be?
If you build it, they will come.
That's a good one. Justin,
you have a perfect kosher hot dog in life, Craig.
Boy, I bet you there are folks driving home.
I don't actually keep kosher, although Mikey and Matilda, my two dogs, they are kosher dogs.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Justin. Yeah, if folks driving home right now, think about it. How could you redesign that dog? Probably make millions doing it. I mean, again, not a mandatory thing, not talking about taking all the real hot dogs and, you know, just removing them from the face of the earth, but that niche market for kids. This one says, ridiculous warning labels on hot dogs. Any food can choke if you don't chew it. And as soon as you redesign a choke-proof hot dog, somebody will choke on one. Survival of the fittest, according to this caller. Now, I think it's worth talking about because, you know, these are real kids who are dying each year and real kids who are getting brain damaged each year, you know, from hot dogs. And so it's at least worth talking about whether there's a good alternative out there.
That's another good business idea. Darwin dogs.
Mm. Tommy, you're with Dan and Craig, 630 KHW. Welcome.
Hi, Dan and Craig.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, I was just thinking maybe they could redesign it like a cartoon character. Maybe like Disney or somebody could pick it up and run with it like a flat, almost like a hamburger. And my suggestion would be in the shape of Barack Obama's face, and you could call it the Obama dog, and then, you know, he could go down.
Yeah, that would be an Obama burger. But I just thought you were going for Bluto, because didn't he like hamburgers?
Bluto?
Being full of bologna. So.
I don't know if that's a Disney character. Wasn't he
mixing the
foil for Popeye?
Political with the health issues. Hey, we'll come back to our gem line. Stan and Craig, 630 KHW. I used to roll the dice, feel the fear in my enemy's eyes. Listen, Mr. Craig. Stan and Craig, 630 KHW. American Academy of Pediatrics wants to redesign the hot dog. This one, CAD.com, Kaplis and Silverman Page, instant message us like this gentleman did, says, hey, guys. My wife is scared to death of giving hot dogs to our two small boys, Angus and Brooks, ages 2.5 and 9 months. The other thing she's afraid of, grapes. Maybe we should see if we can genetically modify grapes to be softer or better shaped. But then she wouldn't buy them because she doesn't like GM food. I guess my poor boys will never know the joys of these two great foods.
Can I make a correction? Bluto is not the hamburger guy. It was Wimpy.
Oh.
Although they both were Popeye's characters. What was Popeye's favorite food?
Spinach.
What about his favorite main course?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, but I would guess Louisiana fried chicken, Popeyes.
Hmm. Yeah, might work.
And there was a great hamburger chain that took off in the UK called Wimpy's.
Wimpy's.
So I'd say design a hamburger design a hot dog to look like a hamburger. Because I'm thinking about various foods, cucumbers, bananas, hot dogs. I'm not that fond of any tubular food.
I don't think any. It's not a hot dog if it's not shaped. But now, again, I think parents, you know, doing the things they need to do to keep it safe. The free market, somebody coming up with a better shape. Maybe it's a hamburger shape. Maybe kids would get used to that. Cool. Man, I'm surprised somebody hasn't hit that niche yet. Beth, you're with Dan and Craig, 630 KHW.
I've never eaten a pickle in my life.
Beth, hello? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Beth.
Oh, thanks.
Do you like pickles?
Yeah.
Have you ever choked on one?
No, never. Good. Not on a pickle, no. But my idea was, and this happened long ago with Lifesaver candies. They used to be just solid candy until the kids did start choking on them, and they put the hole in the middle, and they changed the name to Lifesavers.
Really?
That's the story. Yeah, my mother used to tell me.
That's
so
good.
What about a hole down the middle of a hot dog, and end of problem? You can even squirt the mustard down.
That's a corn dog.
Oh, no. Well, corn dog is just covered with corn.
Right, but it's got a hole down the middle for the stick.
Yeah, but not all the way through.
I think they're suggesting strips, like that the hot dog be cut into narrower strips. But I'm trying to picture the hole. So you're saying a hole like right down the middle of the hot dog?
Just like you stick a straw down there. And when it would get caught in their throat, there would still be a hole there. It would not have to block it.
Well, Beth, forgive me, and not trying to get too biomechanically or anything, but it seems to me, let's say the dog stays its current shape, but you have a hole down the middle. It seems to me that once it gets into the airway and it sort of collapses on itself, that hole doesn't stay intact and doesn't necessarily provide an airway.
Well, that could be true, yeah.
I have not tested this. And I'm looking up Lifesavers. I don't mean to challenge you, Beth, but... They say it's called Lifesavers because it was originally shaped that way, and it looks like a life preserver.
Right, but it was like a life preserver so that you could breathe if you choked on it.
And we're being overrun with calls that say we already have flat hot dogs. They're called bologna. But I don't think you don't cook bologna up on the grill, right? Do you, Beth? Thank you for
fried bologna? Are you kidding me?
All right. All right. This one says, guys, the average hot dog will cost you about 250 calories and 15 grams of fat. It's junk food. The first lady has declared childhood obesity is one of the nation's major problems. Parents shouldn't serve hot dogs to their children to begin with. Cut or uncut. That from our friend Don Reggae. Johnny, you're with Dan and Craig, 630 KHW. Welcome.
Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I wanted to clarify a few callers ago. Field of Dreams, that girl was eating a hot dog and she fell off the bleachers and then it got lodged in her throat.
Oh, okay.
How'd she fall off the bleacher? I don't remember that part.
There's a squabble with the with Kevin Costner and the actress and their brother, and she fell off.
And so, how does it end? Did somebody give her a Heimlich or something?
Yeah, who is the old actor? Shoeless Joe Jackson came off the field and saved her life.
Shoeless Joe. Wow. Well, he had some atoning to do.
I have to watch that movie again. Hey, appreciate it, man. Thank you. This one says, yes, all is true about parental responsibility, but I'm always in favor of doing whatever we can to prevent food or any other accidents. We're not talking about megabucks to do this. We're not talking about a multi-trillion dollar bailout like we did with our nation's negligent financial institutions. Listen, I'm not talking about any taxpayer money. I'm just saying that, there's probably enough of a market here that, somebody out there, free market, somebody can fill this need. And then, obviously, parents being more aware of it.
Well, think about all we could do for the healthcare crisis if we got rid of the hot dogs. Causes childhood obesity. People are choking on it, going to the emergency rooms. I think there's your answer right there. Eliminate the hot dog. Of course, it's all American, but what the heck?
303-713-8255. We'll squeeze in a couple of more on this before the buzzer.
What Supreme Court justice liked hot dogs the best?
Which one?
Felix Frankfurter.
Okay, I would think so. Hey, Steve, welcome to the show. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, your email kind of took my thunder. How about a little responsible parenting and cut the hot dog up into smaller pieces?
Who's got time for that?
Anybody who loves their kids.
You know, obviously that's where it all starts. But then you get so many situations where kids are, you know, eating hot dogs or parents aren't there, whether it's, you know, school or camp or friends or this or that. And then a lot of parents just aren't aware that there are so many kids out there dead and brain damaged from dogs. So,
sure.
Yeah.
I say let the kids cut their own hot dogs up. It's not that hard. It's not like cutting a steak. Aren't you more likely to choke on a steak than a hot dog?
Or hand your kid a knife.
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of kids eating more dogs than adults, but then also, as your cousin so aptly explained, Craig's cousin, a great doctor, you know, just how kids' airways are shaped differently. Steve, thank you, man. Appreciate that call. Hey, we have a couple of minutes before the end of the show to hit on some other news of the day, and there's been a lot. 3 o'clock hour we talked about. We had the live feed of the Attorney General talking about the plea deal with the Colorado Al-Qaeda, Zazi. Najibullah Zazi, who was making this bomb, he's admitted to it now, weapon of mass destruction to kill a lot of people in New York with. He was making it right here in Denver.
Yeah, when you think about it, and the justice system, which I do frequently, not only did we have a Supreme Court justice named Frankfurter, but followed by one named Berger.
What does that tell you?
It's all American.
It's a lot to chew
Burgers
on.
Burgers and Franks.
Yeah.
It's how American... how we get American justice.
And then the Willie Clark trial starting, of course, the murder of Darren Williams. And, you know, there should be an opening statements, hopefully tomorrow, if not tomorrow, Wednesday. We'll be all over that. And we had Reverend Leon Kelly on to talk about, hey, what is the current state of gang activity in Denver? Brian Moss broke that story last week that wonderful young man, Andrew Graham, gunned down in Centennial, law enforcement sources telling CBS 4 Denver. That was a Denver gang killing, part of an ongoing string of racially motivated crimes where black gangs attack whites. And so we'll see where that story goes. But Reverend Kelly talking about the current state of gangs in Denver, and it was not encouraging.
Now, I am jealous of something that you did with your son. And I eat hot dogs occasionally, but I've never, to my recollection, had a Dodger dog. And you came back from Chavez Ravine. And you were raving about the Dodger dog. What makes it so special?
Boy, you know, honestly, I was raving vicariously because Joe had about 150 of them. I didn't have one, you know, and...
Why?
You know, honestly, I have a dog. I had a dog at Smashburger over the weekend, and I have dogs at Mustard's, but I'm overall dog intake is down for me. You know, maybe it's the young kids thing and want to live to see them, you know, have kids themselves. But he, you know, after his 100th Dodger dog, he started to slow down a little bit. I did have a Fenway dog. This summer, we took a trip out to the East Coast and stopped at Fenway Park. And, you know, we were out in the left field stands and had a Fenway dog. And that was extraordinary. But you know what I think it is? I think it's because you expect it to be extraordinary. And you don't want to sound like an idiot saying, oh, a Fenway dog. So Fenway dog. Oh, yeah, that's the best dog I ever had. So I think it was all in the mind.
You're from Chicago, aren't they? Yeah. Kind of known for their hot dogs. I was looking, the idea for Wimpy came through the Chicago Institute of Art. One of the artists was there, was named after a professor. I don't know if you want to be have a character named after you if it's Wimpy, but what the heck? It's a claim to immortality.
Honestly, brothers, we sit here today, probably the food, the one bit of food I remember most in my life, other than anything my wife cooks, which is all spectacular, is a hot dog that this Polish guy, John, used to sell on the corner out of a cart until they threw him out. And it was just the best tasting piece of food I ever had. He had immigrated directly from Poland. Wonderful guy. Didn't speak a word of English, but it was the best tasting hot dog in the world right there off 67th Street.
And occasionally on the run, I'll get a dog, but I always get a Polish because I like a spicy dog.
Yeah, that terrible Hernandez case, the trial of Francis Hernandez, now has gone to the jury. Be interesting to see how that comes down.
Terrible in that a little kid was killed and two other ladies. But wow, what a bunch of law enforcement mess-ups there. Aurora PD in disarray. It'll be interesting to see what that verdict is like.
And Dick Cheney in the hospital resting comfortably,
oh, really?
Some chest
That's
pain. So
bad.
Say a prayer for the former vice president. And boy.
And Bob Dole is ill, too. Our prayers
no.
go out to him.
Yeah. I did not know that. Brad Lopez, great job on the glass. Appreciate that. Jason Lewis next. Pete Boyles at 5 a.m., followed by Glenn Beck. Our buddy Tom Martino will be back tomorrow at 3. Of course, everything in the Bronco murder case, including, we expect at this point, openings tomorrow, and we should get a lot better idea. Remember, an opening statement is a roadmap to the evidence, so we should know a lot more about the prosecutor's case and possibly the defense by the time we hit air tomorrow. Thanks for being with us today. Dan and Craig, 630 KHW.